Life is mostly uncomfortable if you're doing it right. It's mostly uncomfortable with little sprinkles of bliss and beauty and comfort that we really only get to experience when we get really good at mastering being uncomfortable. Many of us just get so hung up on the trying to figure out what the next step is. When you just let go of all of that stuff and commit yourself to the process, taking it one day at a time, one step at a time, one meal at a time, one workout at a time, and you just develop yourself in the direction of this thing you want to achieve, this vision you have for yourself, you're going to do it.
This is Vibe Science, a top 100 wellness podcast presented by the Radcast Network, breaking wellness barriers and making health truly personal. Here's your host, Ryan Alford.
Hello and welcome to Vibe Science. Hey, we think it's all about high vibes here. It's all about mind, body, spirit. When you want to be at your highest vibe, look, wellness is not about curing a disease. It's about mind, body, soul, energy, purveyor of health and wealth. It is Evan Britton. What's up, Evan?
What's up, my brother?
I saw the purveyor of wealth and I just threw the health in there. I feel like you kind of embody it.
I love it, dude.
Yeah, yes. And
I love that.
Chris has spoken highly of you. I knew your name from football. You know, I am enough of a junkie that, like, you know, even casual O-linemen from the day, you know, whatever, like I've heard that name, you know, it's hit my radar or something. So, and then he turned me on to your content. I'm like, dude, I love this guy. So, we really appreciate you coming on. And, Evan, let's set the table for everyone. You know, we skew male on this. So if you're a football junkie, you may have, heard the name from different things. And if you're in the wellness community, probably heard it for sure. But let's set the table for everyone a little bit. Want to definitely get into more of the here and the now. But, you know, tell who the hell is Evan Britton?
Who am I?
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Like, well, I ask it that way with you specifically because I feel like I might get a deep answer from you.
You might. You know, man, I played 6 years in the NFL. It was my childhood dream to play pro football. Played offensive line. When I was about 8 years old, I was at my grandparents' house in Connecticut watching the summer news, and they had highlights of the Jets and the Giants in training camp come on, and I just thought, man, that's what I want to do when I grow up. Came from a family of athletes and artists. There was also, you know, a lot of alcoholism, a lot of mental health stuff going on, a lot of dysfunction. And so for me, it felt like football was this way to show the world who I was, this way to, honestly, is a pathway to conquering the world, as it were. And mom would never let me play. Finally, my freshman year of high school, I convinced her to let me play with the help of my dad. And it was just this rocket ship to the moon trajectory of everything I did, how I lived, how I carried myself, how I trained, was all in alignment with achieving this dream of playing in the NFL. Played offensive line, a lot of right tackle when I was in the NFL, or my last year at University of Arizona, switched to left tackle, ended up back at right tackle. Right tackle was probably my most natural spot. I did like playing left guard at times during my NFL career, but, you know, worked my ass off and saw it in my mind and my heart with everything I had. Every cell of my being was aligned with this, achieving this dream. And I say that because that's an important piece of it all, because no matter what we want to do in our lives, and something that's alive for me currently is having the courage to take the leap of faith into the unknown, always, with whatever it is we're trying to achieve or do with our lives. And many of us just get so hung up on the trying to figure out what the next step is, or if this is the right step, or where am I going to go next, or what's it going to look like, and it has to look like this. And when you just let go of all of that stuff and commit yourself to the process, taking it one day at a time, one step at a time, one meal at a time, one workout at a time, one opportunity in the film room at a time, and you just develop yourself in the direction of this thing you want to achieve, this vision you have for yourself, you're going to do it, you know? And I did it. And I also beat the shit out of myself in the process of doing that, because the whole dream was built on me showing the world how big and fucking scary I am and dominating other human beings. That's what I was really good at that for a long time. I was always the most violent guy on the field. I wanted to play 10 years in the NFL. I got six because my body just started giving out on me. And when your body starts giving out and you're trying to play a game at a really high level like that, it starts becoming not very.
So guys, when you start a new business, it can be overwhelming. Whether it's a wellness brand, a product you believe in, or even launching a podcast like this one, suddenly you're responsible for everything. The product, the brand, the website, the logistics, all of it. That's why having the right platform behind you makes such a big difference. For a lot of founders and entrepreneurs, that platform is Shopify. Shopify powers millions of businesses around the world and about 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from well-known brands to people launching their very first product. One thing I like is how much it helps me simplify the process. Design your online store with ready-to-use templates that make your brand look polished right away. Shopify also has built-in AI tools that can write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance product photos, which saves founders a ton of time. If you ever hit a wall trying to figure something out, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 customer support is there to help you keep moving. Start your business today with the industry's best business partner, Shopify, and start hearing. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/vibe. That's shopify.com/VIBE. Hey, what's up, guys? Everybody that knows me knows I am an energy and caffeine guy. I'm pretty straightforward when it comes to caffeine. I want it to work, and I want it to taste good without a bunch of extra nonsense. That's why I've been using the Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. The flavor is clean, fruity, and surprisingly good. Kind of like a classic candy taste, but without the guilt. It's a zero-sugar option that actually satisfies when you want something sweet. And Fruity Rainbow is just one option. 5-Hour Energy has 17 different tasty caffeine flavors, so there's a lot to choose from depending on what you're in the mood for. What I really appreciate is how simple it is. A lot of flavor, but in a small 2-ounce bottle. It's easy to keep in the bag, the car, or even at the office without carrying around a bulky drink. Fruity Rainbow happens to be my current favorite, but the full lineup is solid. If you're looking to change up your caffeine routine, get candy-flavored chaos with Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Available online at 5hourenergy.com or Amazon.
Fun anymore. So, you know, through my NFL career, I had shoulder surgery, back surgery, numerous concussions, torn ligaments and muscles all over my body. You know, as far as playing wise, I was drafted by the Jags in 2009 from the University of Arizona. I was drafted 39th overall, round two. That was in 2009. Started, had a tremendous rookie season going into my second year. Started every game my rookie year. Going into my second season, I suffered this ruptured disc in my back, L5-S1. So for anybody listening, your spine is the bones of the vertebrae, and then there's discs in between each one of those vertebrae. That's how we get the flexion and the extension in our spine that we have. But those discs are basically like, it's like a jelly donut. You know, it's this disc filled with fluid. And you hear some people talking about slit discs, which is actually not as common as we perceive it to be. The discs don't really slip. They bulge or they rupture. Mine ruptured. So the disc basically bulged. It was compressed incorrectly. The disc bulged and then it exploded and was oozing this liquid out onto my sciatic nerve, which caused unbelievable pain. Unbelievable pain. Lost a lot of power in my right leg. Could barely feel my right foot on the floor. To this day, I've got some numbness in my right toes. And so then the next 5 years of my career really became this battle of getting myself out of pain, getting myself ready to play. And that takes a toll, you know, just it takes a massive toll. Every guy in the NFL is doing something to the extent that I was going through. You know, every guy is playing injured. Every guy is dealing with a massive amount of pain. And we just grind ourselves to the bone until we can't anymore, essentially. And some guys who are really lucky, you know, there takes some luck to get to those 10 plus year careers. Luck and a lot of savvy. You know, guys, the veterans always used to tell me, Eb, don't practice so hard. I was like, fuck you talking about, dude. Don't practice so hard. I know one speed, man.
Yeah, one gear. You know?
And that's not how you stay a pro for a long time. You know, you learn how to practice in a way that you can get the rep and not destroy yourself. So, you know, I beat the hell out of myself, man, trying to prove a lot. And when I came out of the NFL in 2014 was my last season. So 2015, you know, it was a slow process into just surrendering my football career, which I was definitely getting the whispers, you know, handful of injuries. My last year in Chicago, halfway through the season, I had a ruptured appendix, you know, like there were all kinds of just the universe was like that. You know, it's time to move on. And I had that moment, one of the last weeks in Chicago, where I was sitting in the film room. I just sort of started coming back from my appendix. And I was sitting there watching film, watching myself in practice. And I thought, God, what the fuck am I doing here? I got to pop pills just to sit in this chair. I'm in pain from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. God bless this coach back here, but he doesn't really give a shit, dude. If I walked out of here tomorrow, he'll put a rookie in my spot. No problem. Like, this is just, I'm sitting here thinking it's glorious and I'm just killing myself. So when I felt I had that feeling that probably all athletes experience at one time, which is that I'm not in love with this anymore and I'm not willing. There's a million places I'd rather be, was the thought.
And if you're, let's be honest, you thought, were playing with the Bears.
Yeah. Yeah, the you were competing. Not going well.
You weren't competing for a title. You know? Yeah. And that pays me as an old Bears fan as a kid, but it's just the truth. The last, 10, 12 years.
Oh, it's true, man. It's true. Yeah. I had a rough go with the teams I was on. I mean, You know, the best team I think I was ever on was my last year in Arizona. We went 8-5, beat BYU in the Vegas Bowl. And, you know, that was a tough team. I was on tough teams. I wasn't on teams that won a whole lot, though, you know.
Yeah.
So I came out of my football career and was completely shattered. You know, I was physically, mentally, emotionally. My last year in Jacksonville, I'd been benched halfway through the season when I was attempting to play on a bad left ankle. Got benched and just totally lost. I've told this story a million times, so I'll give the cliff notes. But you know, I was benched and just completely lost my faith in the game. You know, I always looked at the football team as my family. You know, I gave everything I had to the team. I would have literally died on the field. That was just who I was as a player. And when I got benched, it just absolutely crushed me because I was attempting to play through an injury that they told me I could play through. And I kept saying, hey, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to go, you know. And it's like, we'll tape it. We'll give you the Toradol shot. We'll do this. We'll get the pills in. You'll be fine. And there I go. I'm starting at left guard against the Bengals, going against Geno Atkins and just getting my ass kicked, you know, and get benched. And I'm like, you know, fuck you guys, you know. And the business of football is what it is, you know. So when the business really started to make itself known, I lost the heart. So I come out of my football career, I have no confidence, no idea who I am. I've spent, you know, the majority of my life getting my validation through dominating other people, and that's gone. So who am I? What am I? What do I even like? I don't know who I am. I have no idea what I'm even interested in. And so, you know, around 2016 started on the long journey of figuring all that stuff out.
Here we are.
Here today. We are, dude.
Talking to Evan Britton, former NFL player, now yogi and a purveyor of all things health and wealth.
That's right, dude.
Because look, we've all been there, like, you know, like in different ways. I mean, you did it at the highest level. I mean, the most elite level. I mean, people really don't understand how elite NFL athletes are. Like, how few, there's billions of people walking this planet, and how few people have what it takes to do what you did. So you did it at the highest level, but then that's all you had done. And so it's like that flip will be, you know, how do you find that purpose?
Mm. It's a great question, dude. And you're right on. I would say that in my experience has been that the task is to master ourselves, you know, it's to master our mind. It's to master the inner atmosphere that we experience. And you can do that through meditation. You can do that through breath work. You can do that through plant medicine. You can do that through life. You know, every interaction that we have is an opportunity to see who we are underneath the skin, under the surface. And something I was thinking about this morning, because, dude, really at the end of the day, what does it come down to? When you're a master of yourself, it means that you're no longer a ship that's victim to the tides of life, the storms of life, because we're going to face adversity. Life is mostly uncomfortable if you're doing it right. It's mostly uncomfortable with little sprinkles of bliss and beauty and comfort that we really only get to experience when we get really good at mastering being uncomfortable. And you think there's a lot of ways to experience discomfort, and a lot of us experience it just in the flow of our everyday life. But you think of discomfort, you immediately go like, an image of David Goggins running for 45 miles on broken ankles comes to mind. And you're like, oh, fuck, that's discomfort? Holy shit. It's like, yeah, that's one version of it. Getting into an ice tub, doing 90 minutes of hot yoga where you feel like you're literally going to combust, doing an ayahuasca ceremony. These are all various forms of discomfort. But the one that we don't really spend enough time thinking about, talking about, understanding is the discomfort of our own emotional energy, the energies that move through us, the bad feelings we have about ourselves, the sadness, the grief, the shame, the guilt, all of these things that are also much subtler forms of discomfort, but it's still discomfort. And it's actually this discomfort which causes us to be reactionary, to lash out, to make a rash decision, do something that fucking causes damage or wreaks havoc in our relationships. And so the more we can master ourselves into feeling that stuff, because I've been meditating now for just about 10 years, every single day, I'm a different human being, and I still feel shit. I still feel heavy emotions. I still have emotional suffering. I still feel that stuff because I'm a human being. And until I leave this body, it's going to be a part of the deal. And so the only option I have, because we're never going to get to a point, you know, you see these love and light people on Instagram, and it's a nice idea, but it's not real. It's not real. We all go, what the fuck are you talking about, love and light? Because it's not real. Your relationship to it can be loving. you can go, I'm not going to push this away, because eventually that's where we've got to get to, is we're not in resistance to what is. So many of us spend our entire lives in resistance to our reality. We're trying to go, I don't want to see it. No, not that. I'm not going to feel that. I'm going to do this. And we never go anywhere, because time is just moving in a circle. It's just moving in a circle. We're just experiencing the same things, the same lessons, the same patterns over and over again until we start to develop ourselves and master ourselves. We create space. I'm a big fan of meditation because it's this opportunity to create space and to tune in to the center point. We're all just this fucking walking mass of energy. Everything is energy. Everything is vibration. It's all just particles of energy in motion constantly. And I think especially in this day and age where we're just fucking running around, like trying to make money, trying to do this, trying to, you know, be a good boy, do all the things we were told we had to do. And meanwhile, we've just totally forgotten what makes us come alive, because that's really what's important. You know, it's like, how fucking alive are you, dude? How much are you able to express your energy into the world?
It's I'm resonating so much with what you're saying, because you're saying things that I've always had a hard time kind of like piecing it together, even when I've had these discussions with like friends. Survival of the fittest, again, it comes off like, okay,
yeah,
like the Game of Thrones, you know, yeah. But in honesty, The other side of what we're talking about wants it to be survival of the equals and most comfortable. And that's not reality, because none of the other jobs, none of the other innovations, none of the other sort of greatness that happens around us happens in a world of comfort, equals, and without someone having an edge of wanting to maximize their ideas or innovations themselves. You know, I mean, in a way it relates to capitalism, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, because, you know, we can want it comfortable. Just want it comfortable and equal for everybody, you know, like, and you know, like that. Okay. It's like versus survival of the fittest. I mean, some people might argue that those aren't opposite things, but they are.
Yeah.
Because when you're comfortable and equal, you don't have more skills. You don't have more ability. You have no motivation to get better. You just want to, you know, have Twinkies and watch TV all day. I mean, or be that facsimile absorbing everything else versus creating versus stimulation of ideas. And it all goes to hell in a hurry if we get on that other side too far. And I think that's the wake up that's happening now.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't it such an interesting paradox, man? Because the comfort leads to a really dark place. The Twinkies and the sucked into the technology on the couch leads to a really dark life experience that feels fucking horrible.
It's comfortable in the short term, but it's expensive as hell in the long.
Well, I think dealing with the ripples of that now, I think as a society we're seeing now, especially the younger generation, they didn't know any different and it's not working. And they don't. And I think the only thing, like men, what you talked about for some of these kids to hold on to was like when they played sports, like the glory days, right? Where even what you said with the jujitsu, I've felt that call like the last 6 months too. Like, never done combat sports, always been skilled with firearms. But even, it's funny, I was at a ceremony, actually, a plant medicine ceremony last month. Buddy shows up, never met him, recognize him from Instagram with another Navy SEAL buddy of mine. Turns out he's a private contractor, trains jujitsu.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, bro, I'm always looking to train other people. And I was like, because like you,
there you go,
I don't know where to begin. I've never done this shit. I don't know if I'm gonna like it, but it's even what you said. I just want to see what I'm capable of. And every person I've talked to in combat sports, the first thing they say is never the physical, it's the mental. Everyone always tells me what is done for them mentally more than, oh, I could go beat someone's ass. It's more like, man, my patience or my mental strength has my clarity. But yeah, man, I've felt that call too. And I think more now than ever, we've lost what we used to have to do just to survive because of the comfort, which is manual labor, right? Physical exertion. Comfort is killing us quite literally. I mean, even when you said carrying your children, I saw a picture yesterday. It was from a hurricane, I think here in Houston. And you see the rescue worker, big, you know, big dude carrying little girl, little girl's dad's in front of her carrying her shoes. And it said, don't be the guy carrying the shoes, right? Like you can't even, you're not even capable of carrying your own daughter out of a natural disaster. And that's, that rang so true to me where it's like, all right, I'm not planning for a doomsday, right? But I want to know that I'm capable if I need to be.
Yes, dude.
And that's for no reason external, more myself, just for me, for my own peace of mind. Like you said, it got you more peace.
Yeah. Well, that's the
crazy, right?
Difference, man.
Getting into combat sports has brought you more peace.
Yeah.
Everything is invert.
Yes, dude. It's fucking, it's really interesting.
I bought a houseboat a couple years ago, and I grew up with a dad that's a general contractor and a family of Alfords that are all really good with their hands, tools. And I don't know if it's because I was around it all the time that I fought it. I was always more the, you know, I'm a marketing guy, you know, technology, writing, you know, the arts, I guess, creating. And my dad's a creator too. He's creative, but like with his hands, he can whittle, you know, this table in front of me in, you know, 2 hours together, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I was always fought it. And then I started getting into boats. And let me tell you, you know how you make yourself real handy? You buy yourself a boat. Because there's all a boat. Number one, it stands for break out another thousand. And number one, I got tired of paying people and waiting for people to fix things. Mm. And you know what? Like my dad came this weekend, stayed with us on, we go every weekend. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. And you know, I had a couple projects. My dad, you know, came and stayed with us. He's always handy. And I would always call him my dad. My dad would come over like my house growing up. I'm 47 years old, you know, like, but even at 35, dad, could you come help me? I got to put a couple lights up. You know, I can, you know, twist the screwdriver or whatever. Yeah, anyway, he came over this weekend, you know, and I did like 95% of the work. And I was kind of like, he did a couple things with some wiring and stuff or whatever. And he was like, I never thought I'd see the day, but you're pretty fucking handy. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. And I said, the boats kind of made me that way, but now I enjoy it. Now I enjoy doing the work. And I have like, cause when you own a houseboat, it's like owning a house, but you have to learn how to do everything. Like it's plumbing, electricity, wiring, cabinetry, leaks, everything. I mean, like,
yeah, dude.
And this isn't like a piece of crap. This is like, this is a luxury houseboat, but you don't want to be waiting on your houseboat, you know, you're not waiting because you use it so little, you know, at home. Okay. The repairman will be here in a couple of days. Well, that's your house you're in all the time.
Right.
Houseboat's supposed to be luxury, leisure and all that. You don't want to be waiting.
Yeah.
So you're totally going to spend 2 hours to do it yourself. But back to sort of the skill sets and learning things and the value of that and feeling, you know, like I think there's something to be said for that and something to have, I don't know, confidence in, but also like purpose and, you know, yeah. And if shit hits the fan, I'm a lot more handy than I used to be.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. You're talking about the feeling that I think a lot of us have lost touch with, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's like, convenience. Yeah. I used to just call someone. Yeah call the guy. Call
the handy guy, man. You know?
Yeah.
Call the whoever. And it's, dude, man, we're pretty simple creatures, dude. You know? Yeah. We need to, it's important for us to have a mission, to have a purpose. And long time ago, like you were saying, Chris, we had to go hunt and kill an animal to feed our family. That was our purpose. We had to protect our land from fucking invaders.
Yeah.
That was our purpose. And we thrived.
And we thrived
on that.
An initiation into manhood, which I think we're missing as a society now.
Oh yeah, 1,000%. Well, you know, again, I don't know. I think it can be argued any which way you want that men are intentionally and perhaps unconsciously, they're attempting to destroy men in various ways. But our culture, just how it's set up, is not set up for men to thrive in.
Right.
We have to go find it, man.
Yeah.
Like we have to live our life in a way that creates the purpose.
Yeah, but we could talk all day.
Yeah, we could, bro.
And I'd love to. but we got to let you go. And I got another show at 2:00. So
yeah, man.
Where can everybody keep up and learn more about your programs, what you're doing, some of your events, all that stuff? Give us the deets.
Brother. Yeah, really appreciate you guys. Totally. Thank you for having me on. Anybody who's interested, check me out on Instagram at EDSBritain. My podcast is The Ebb and Flow. I've got a group mentorship program. We do weekly live calls on school. That's called Life and Flow. You could hit the link in my bio on Instagram to join that. We did our final event of the year a couple weeks ago, as I said, but stay tuned. We've got Heal and Flow in 2025. That'll be on the calendar soon. And that's it, man. Just appreciate you guys. Appreciate the opportunity to come and share. And thanks again.
Yeah, man. We look forward to collaborating on other things. Like we could,
for sure.
Book on Amazon. Check it out.
Check out my book right there. It's on Amazon.
Ebb and Flow. We'll have amazing links to all the content in our show notes and on our website, vibescience.media. Hey, we're trying to take you to your highest vibe. The only way to do there was mind, body, and energy. And Evan's got the energy. We love it. We appreciate you, brother. For Chris Hansen down in Miami, I'm Ryan Alford. We'll see you next time on Vibe Science.
The content discussed on this show is provided for reference and educational purposes. The content is not an attempt to practice medicine or provide specific medical advice. Always consult your personal physician for medical advice and proper diagnosis.
Thanks for listening. This is Vibe Science. To learn more or watch full episodes, visit vibesciencepodcast.com. Here's to discovering your highest vibe.